Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, Doctor of Chiropractic and Functional Health Practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Today is the first episode of season 3. We have been gone for a couple of weeks, but we're back. It's been a busy start to the school year.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk all about muscle meat. So hopefully answering all of your questions that you've had come up while you're perusing the grocery store or trying to figure out where to source your meat from. Hopefully we can answer those questions. Before we jump into that, I will give a quick recap of the Saturday morning workout because Dr. Alex did not participate in the Saturday morning workout. But it was pretty simple today. It was a partner workout, so we did 20 rounds. And first, so you trade off every exercise with every round. First, it was a 100-meter run. And then the next person did 8 pull-ups, or in my case, I did ring rows. And then back to the first person, did 6 front squats. And we both agreed that that was the most difficult part of the workout by far. So just kept alternating movements, and we knocked out 20 rounds of that in like 23 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah. I'm the one sweaty and out of breath here. Dr. Alex is ready to go.
Yeah, so for some reason, I needed to do some extra stuff this morning in addition to that workout, so I set my alarm for 5:30, and then I woke up at 6:20. So apparently my alarm did not work.
And it happens to the best of us.
Taking a charge right now, so I've been at like 10 to 15%. I can plug
You're
it
just
in.
Just hovering it.
Yeah, it just gets. It'll charge like 5% and then doesn't go past 15%.
Well, so that's annoying. Maybe Very we can annoying. Blame the alarm situation on that, maybe.
Yeah.
The phone is about to go.
So, yes, I did not work out today. I missed it. But, yeah, you said a couple weeks. It feels like it's been a couple months since we've done this.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Some vacation stuff, just end of the summer. We have a school that we started along with another couple, and that has been a lot. So
yeah, just added a couple more titles to your name.
Yeah,
headmaster.
Headmaster, teacher, board, part of the board, teaching chemistry class.
Oh wow!
General science.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But we had one of our listeners and a health coaching client ask a question. She said she's missing the podcast and was learning a lot. So that kind of triggered me to say, okay, I think we can get back into doing it.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I want to talk about meat today. She had just a few different questions about meat. So I just figured we would go through. The idea is back to the Restoring Human Diet, which we've done a show on.
A couple.
Just go through the food list that's on the Restoring Human Diet. And so basically how I do this diet is I have this food list and then I say, here's the foods that I think you can just eat however much you want. Here's the foods that I want you to increase. And here's the foods that I want you to eliminate. And it's not all the time. I think most people have an understanding, especially people who are familiar with either the podcast or stuff that I've done in the past. They know that meat is not bad, but it's pretty rare that I have to say just increase your meat. The next thing that we talk about, which is organ meats, is usually the one that I have to say you should probably increase. But I think it's helpful to remind people that meat isn't a bad thing. If I'm just having, not necessarily coaching clients, but if I'm just having conversations with people at the office and talked to them, they mentioned something about nutrition, and I asked them how their diet is, and they say, oh, I probably eat too much red meat, or, you know, if they think they're doing a good job, they'll say, I don't eat a lot of red meat. Mm-hmm. So they're still kind of stuck in the old,
yes, you know,
saturated fat and cholesterol causes heart disease model, mm-hmm, which I think we've kind of done a ton of stuff on.
Right, or like lean meat is better, like chicken, yep, and yep, fish are king as, yeah, opposed to beef.
Right, right, right. The lean stuff, you know, the stuff that's not going to clog your arteries is kind of the thought. But mm-hmm, yeah, so we won't spend much time on that, but just know before we get into this other aspect of meat that red meat is totally fine. You should be having it as a regular thing in your diet.
Would you go as far to say that beef could be and should be like the animal that you consume more than any other animals? Or
yeah, so beef is the how can we describe it? It's, I would say, the healthiest meat that is the most cost effective.
Yeah,
is that how you say
sure,
it?
Sure. Yeah.
So you get into things like buffalo. You could get into, you know, just kind of some of the more exotic type meats that are going to match up to beef in terms of nutrient density. If you are hunting something, it's more than likely going to be less toxic than, you know, especially farm-raised stuff that, like we'll get into grain-fed versus grass-fed. But that stuff's typically really expensive. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can find grass-fed beef for not as expensive as those things.
Yep.
And it's still going to be as healthy. So yeah,
okay.
I think the answer to that would be yes, should be the dominant meat in your diet. But the big question always is, you know, kind of the organic versus non-organic, the grass-fed versus grain-fed. What are some other things that she said? So she even mentions grass-finished, free-range, pastured, all that stuff. So on the Restoring Human Diet, what I typically say, I'll list muscle meats. So beef, lamb, bison, pork, poultry, venison. These are all types of different muscle meats that you can have on this diet. But then in a parenthesis, I say organic, pasture-raised, or wild meats are best. If not feasible, shoot for them as much as possible. So why do I say that? Well, the biggest thing is just one of our things that we're always teaching people is to avoid toxicity, right? So that's the organic piece. If you're eating organic anything, you're going to have less toxicity than non-organic stuff. So here's just kind of a list of things of organic, and this is USDA organic versus natural. I would even prefer if you have a relationship with a farmer that is trying to be organic, that would even be better than USDA organic, because although they have to meet requirements in the USDA, there's still kind of loopholes that people can get around. But if a farmer, if you just trust them and they're trying to do things the right way, they're typically going to be fully organic. But mm-hmm, so thinking toxic pesticides, you know, that's going to be on just even what they would call natural, if you're listening in as natural. GMOs, antibiotics, growth hormones, all of that stuff is allowed if it's not organic meat. So has there been a ton of research, especially on like growth hormone and stuff like that, that's super negative? No, but just from a minimized toxicity principle perspective, we would want to avoid those things because remember, give the body what it needs, stay away from what it doesn't. So if you're not staying away from these things, you're just over time, you know, making your body unhealthy. And then there's some stuff like animal welfare requirements that's under the USDA organic requirements. Lower levels of environmental pollution, certification. You have to, of course, have certifications and stuff with the USDA, so they come and check to make sure these things are happening. So if you're not doing that, then you can expect that all that stuff is going to be in your meat and be a problem. Now, if you can't get organic meat, you have to just, you know, buy conventional or traditional or just non-organic meat. I would still say it should be in your diet. But ideally you would try to get something like an organic meat as much as possible just to try to avoid the toxicity. So that's the kind of the organic part of it. The grass-fed part of it, I would say, is probably even more important. So grass-fed versus grain-fed, what does that even mean? Well, cows are supposed to, we call them grass-fed, but you could, a better label is green-fed. So they should be eating grass. They should be eating just green vegetation, roughage. They shouldn't be eating grain. They shouldn't be eating corn. They shouldn't be eating soy. But especially in the United States, that's the number one thing that cows are fed is corn and soy. It's just mass-produced, and they try to, why do they feed them corn and soy? Well, because that's not traditionally part of the cow's diet, so it fattens them up, just like processed foods that an American eats. It's not a typical part of their diet. It fattens us up. This does the same thing to cows. So when they eat the corn, they eat the soy, it fattens them up. They can get to a certain weight. They can send them off to, be the to get slaughtered and, you know, get to somebody's table. So farmers want to mass produce big, heavy cows so they can make more money and get more sent off. So that's why we've kind of went to this grain instead of grass. Grass is a lot slower process. Grass doesn't get the cat as fat. So it's a leaner type meat. You're not going to be able to really mass produce these type of things. So again, just back to a principle, if a cow is eating something that is not part of its traditional diet, that is probably going to cause some problems, right? And one of the big things that I used to highlight when I used to teach on this stuff a lot is because it's not part of their diet, it should just make sense to you that if it's not, they're not going to be healthy. So then their immune system decreases, so they're very prone to infections. So what typically is done is they're just given prophylactically antibiotics. They're vaccinated. They can be given steroids, things like that, just to bring inflammation down because all of this unhealthy thing, sickness is happening within the cow. So they're, just like we do, treat it with medications instead of saying, well, why is this cow sick all the time? Well, it's because of what you're feeding it. They just basically try to get it to a certain weight so that they could send it off, right?
And the conditions being so close together and conditions.
Yep. So that's another thing versus, so we mentioned pasture-raised. Pasture-raised is definitely even different than grass-fed. So grass-fed, just to get that label, the standards that the state of the animal has to be in, it has to be fed grass at least 30% of its diet. So as long as you feed your cows grass 30% of the time, you can put the label on the beef of grass-fed beef. So 70% of the time isn't.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. That's,
wow.
That's a real thing. So
I guess that's why you see sometimes they say 100% grass-fed.
Right. So when it comes to what you should be doing, I would say three things that you can look for, or two things that you can look for, one thing you can just do. One, if it says 100% grass-fed, that, again, maybe there's some loophole of getting around that too, but at least for as far as I know, they've fed grass all the way up until the cow is killed and put on your plate. Second thing would be grass that could be called grass finished.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is a lot of people will, and this could even be farmers who do a good job of stuff, is they feed them 100% grass, but then the last 60 to 90 days before they're slaughtered, then they're fed grain and just fattens them up again. So it's only the 60 to 90 days of last part of their life that they're fed this. So majority of their life they're fed grass, which is of course better than not being fed grass at all. But
that's purely just to like increase the amount of meat basically and increase their profit.
Yeah. And I don't know how it all works. I mean, we should probably have a farmer on here at some point
That'd
to talk about this.
But
it has something to do, basically you get more money for how heavy they, like the fatter they are, the more money you're going to get. But I think it even could go the other way. Like if you get them too fat, then that's a bad thing too.
Sure.
So they're trying to get them to a certain level where you send them off and, you know, they're getting paid the most money per cow, of course. So they might be grass fed up until the last 60 days, but then you fatten them up with this corn and soy and yeah, they get really fat. And like I said, that's not going to be as big of a problem if they're fed grain the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But even in this last 60 to 90 days, there's been some research that shows that it could change their fatty acid ratio, which is something we'll get into. Already starts to decrease their immune system. So
they can, you know, have infections and stuff like that. So then they're going, basically they're still going to, before they're slaughtered, they're still a sick cow that you're eating. But the third thing there, so grass, 100% grass fed, grass finished, or if, again, if you just have a farmer that you're going to that is trying to pasture raise animals, then those are the ones that you want to. If you for sure want 100% grass fed, then that's the, those are the three choices that you have, I would say.
Okay, so I have a question about this. We do have a farmer that we get meat from, and but it's not 100% grass fed, because they talk about, like, we live in Iowa and there's winter here and mm-hmm. there's not always green stuff growing from the ground. So they are grass fed through the seasons they can be. And then in the winter, I think they are fed grain that this family farm grows themselves.
Okay.
What would you say about that? I mean, cause it's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, so there's just different levels of this. So if they're fed grain that the family grows themselves, then more than likely it's probably organic grain, right? It's not pesticides, and it's going to be more a more local thing. So probably more nutrient dense than just your typical grain that's fed non-GMO stuff, that type of stuff. So it's going to be better, but it's still something that the cows was never designed to eat.
Mm.
So you are. So the two main things that it does, and we can jump into this now, I guess, is throws off their fatty acid ratio. So what I mean by that is there's these polyunsaturated fats that we know them as omega-6s and omega-3s. So you probably know people that take fish oil, they take those to try to increase their omega-3 fatty acids. Well, the body is designed, to, if it's healthy, to have an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of 4-to-1 down to 1-to-1. What research shows is typically the most Americans are 25-to-1. So we have, for every omega-3 fatty acid we have in our body, we have 25 omega-6 fatty acids. Why that's a problem is because that just creates inflammation. The more omega-6 to omega-3 ratio that you have, the more pro-inflammatory molecules you produce. So now you're just inflamed all over the place, and it's because of your diet, primarily the type of fat that you're eating. So when you're feeding a cow grain, it throws off the cow's fatty acid ratio. So the cow is supposed to be 4-to-1, 2-to-1, something around there. But that's where a lot of our reason our fatty acid ratios are thrown off in the United States is because we are eating conventionally raised meat, and because its fatty acid ratio is so far off, that just turns into our fatty acid ratio. So the grain fed, regardless if it's organic or local, or, you know, the farmer's doing it on their own, they're still, they can't do anything about the fatty acid ratio.
Sure.
Right, of how that affects the cow.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a benefit of, you know, only feeding it 60 to 90 days of grain, or in the wintertime like they're talking about. But it's still going to have, but I mean, it should just make sense. If you're eating a bunch of omega-6 fatty acids versus omega-3 and you do that your whole life, your ratio is going to be far worse than somebody who still eats a significant amount of omega-6 to omega-3, but just not as much as you, right? Mm-hmm. So there's different levels of how bad your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is. So it's going to be the same thing for the cow. That's why I said you want to try to, in the Restoring Human Diet, you want to try to get it as much as possible, you know, pasture-raised, 100% grass-fed beef. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily caution somebody against eating that type of meat. But, yeah, again, it's just not the most ideal. And I'm not a farmer, so I don't know if there's way. I would just, there's people who have 100% grass-fed beef. So
right, in Iowa.
In Iowa. So I mean, I would say they probably store it. They probably have different, because it's not just grass, you know, mm-hmm. so they can, you know, find other ways of getting.
Yeah, that would be interesting to pick a farmer's brain about all of this. Like,
right.
How do you right. do that?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I definitely have a farmer friend that I'm sure he'd be willing to come on.
Cool.
We can have him. We could definitely have him. But so here's a little bit about this grain finished beef thing. So research has revealed the dangers behind beef that is grain finished. It has shown that within 30 days of switching from grass-fed to grain-fed diets, animals have a significant proportion of inflammatory fatty acids and a large reduction in antioxidant capacity. compared to animal-fed grass throughout their entire life. So just, this isn't even the 60 to 90 day. They're showing 30 days if you switch the diet, which again should make sense. One of the things that I do with people, if they're very unhealthy, I say, hey, let's do a 30-day reset. Mm-hmm. Because a lot can change in 30 days. If you just change your diet in 30 days, cut out some stuff, you can see some huge positive things happen with your health. So obviously it can go the other way. You know, if a cow's been eating what they're supposed to be eating and then they switch for 30 days, there's going to be some significant change there. So yeah, that I would say that's probably the biggest thing with the grass-fed stuff is the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. That's probably the most important thing. But here's a list of some other stuff. So omega-6 omega-3 ratio is ideal. There's something called CLA, so conjugated linoleic acid. It's a form of fat that is found in grass-fed products. So grass-fed butter, if you can get that, and then of course grass-fed meat. What CLA is important for is, so it's a fat that actually, if you ingest it, it helps you to burn fat. So
that's
cool. How you can say is you can eat beef on a, or you can, it's on a weight loss diet,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, CLA is huge. Beta carotene, vitamin E, vitamin A, these are all antioxidants. So twice as much beta carotene in grass-fed beef, five times as much vitamin E in grass-fed beef.
As opposed to conventional beef?
Grain-fed beef, yep.
Okay.
Five times as much vitamin A is grass-fed or is grain-fed beef. So we mentioned that, that saturated fat is not necessarily a bad thing. But if you do have any sort of concerns about it, they know that grass-fed beef just has a better balance of saturated to unsaturated fats in it than grain-fed beef. So there's super high in saturated fat for grain-fed beef versus the unsaturated fats that are in there. But the grass-fed beef has a better balance. And I don't know if you can, as far as taste, I'm sure that's person to person how it tastes, but when they've done the research, you know, people claim that grass-fed beef tastes better.
Yeah.
I think it's just how you season beef.
Is yeah, totally. I agree.
But... So this says bland and pasty for grain fed and, you know, original and bold. I don't even know if I know what original and bold is, but taste could be better as well if you're eating grass fed.
I feel like I notice from like our quality, local, mostly grass fed beef, like when you just open a package, like it has like a pleasant smell versus like just getting whatever from the grocery store. Just like, I just want to cook this up as fast as possible, but I don't know. Is that weird? But I don't know. Maybe there's something to that.
Sure. Last thing would be risk of something like an E. coli. Mm. Grain fed beef is shown to be a lot higher chance of having an E. coli issue than grass fed. A lot of benefits there to having grass fed. So overall, I would say try to get it as much as possible. I mean, if you're getting 100% grass fed, if you're buying that from, you know, local health food store, of course it's going to be more expensive than grain fed, but I would say definitely worth it. So the better thing to do would be able to find a farmer.
Right.
Trying to do things the right way. Cause then you're covering, you know, typically if you're grass fed there, it's going to be organic, even if you're buying it at the store. But if you're finding a farmer that you can get it from and trusting, then you're supporting somebody local. You know that they're taking care of their animals well. Then you get all these grass-fed, organic, all those benefits as well.
Honestly, what I've found, we've gotten from a couple different local farms, and it's almost always the same or cheaper than if you're looking for like the quality stuff at the health food stores.
Yeah.
So it's like, why wouldn't I do it this way? Cause it's even like maybe $1 a pound cheaper. It seems like then, cause at the stores they really mark that stuff up. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, she asked some other questions about like, free range and all that stuff. I think we can answer that in other podcasts, but for the most part, I think we hit on all our stuff.
Yeah.
Grass-fed, organic is definitely the pasture-raised right way to go, 100% right way to go. But there's different levels. If you can't fully find it, then just try to do as best you can with that.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't want to avoid meat if you can't find it. Still
sure.
Get the meat in your diet.
Yeah. Or if you can't afford it because
right.
Groceries are crazy.
Yeah. But try to get it in as much as you can.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Sounds good. Let us know if you guys have follow-up questions on this. We definitely want to address those. We hope that this was a blessing to you. We're looking forward to our new season. And be sure to share this with someone else who might find it helpful. We'll talk to you next time.